All right, Psalm 12 again, please, just for a few moments. I just want to read these verses, and then we're going somewhere else, just to refresh you of what the Lord said about the Scripture. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. For those of you who are preacher boys, and there are several in the crowd, when you announce that you're preaching from the book of the Psalms, it's not Psalm chapter, it's Psalm number. The Psalms are not divided into chapters, they are divided into songs, into Psalms. So it's Psalm number 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now I want you to turn with me, please, over to the Gospel of Matthew, to the fourth chapter. And I want to read just one phrase or one verse, and then you keep your Bible open here for a few minutes, and I'm going to show you something tonight I trust will be an encouragement to you. Matthew chapter 4, and I want to read Let me read three, starting with verse 12. It says, Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. That's Naphtali. Verse 14. Let's just all read the next one, two, three, four, five. Five words. Ready? That it might be fulfilled. All right, five words. All right, let's read it again. That it might be fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled. Now, I want to preach to you tonight on that subject, that it might be fulfilled. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the Bible. And Lord, as we read just a moment ago in Psalm 12, this is your pure word. You promised that you would give it from generation to generation. And so, Lord, if we do not have a pure Bible tonight, then you've lied to us. And we know that you cannot lie. And so, Lord, I pray that you will bless tonight as we think about the Scripture and how it had to be pure from generation to generation in order for the Scriptures to be fulfilled. And Lord, I pray that you will help us then to realize that some 2,000 years after the fact, when our Lord and Savior said that the Scriptures were fulfilled in at His coming, when the Scriptures were fulfilled in the things that He did, then Lord, that surely should help each one of us to understand that we have a pure Bible, the real Word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this thought and give us more confidence in your word, that, Lord, we'll trust it and we'll read it and we'll study it and we'll meditate upon it and hide its words in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Lord, bless the message. I pray you'll help me as I speak. And, Lord, I want to be a blessing tonight and I want to be clear. I want folks to see the argument and see the point that I'm going to try and make this evening. So, Lord, bless us now, I ask you in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you tonight, kind of a follow-up to what I preached on last Sunday night on the subject of can I trust my Bible's preservation. I spoke to you a couple months ago on can I trust my Bible's inspiration, and I showed you in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, that the Bible was inspired, it is inspired, and it forever will be inspired. And the answer is yes, you can trust your Bible's inspiration. That all Scripture is given by inspiration, all of it. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the Bible is inspired of God. It was inspired, it is inspired, it ever will be inspired. It's God's Word. And I showed you that. I tried to prove that in the message that I preach. Last Sunday night, I spoke to you on Can I Trust My Bible's Preservation? The psalmist says in the 12th Psalm and in the 6th and 7th verse that the Lord would preserve His Word. He would preserve it from generation to generation. God promises us that He will preserve His precious book. Now, I've also explained to you, or I've given to you, what I call the opinion of the Alexandrians. Now you say, well, who are the Alexandrians? Well, the Alexandrians are those people who do not believe that the Bible is preserved. They believe that that the original copies, the original manuscripts of the Bible were inspired, but then they adhere to the fact that everything that we have now is a copy of copies of copies, and therefore it's filled with errors, and we need them to come along now and translate and to editorialize and to speculate what God really meant. And that's an Alexandrian. There are two major schools where we have gotten manuscripts. There is the Antioch Church, which if you remember in the book of Acts, and they were first called Christians in Antioch, and then the second place is Alexandria, Egypt. And so those that adhere to the fact that the original manuscripts were inspired, but all that we have today to work with are copies of copies and copies of the original manuscripts, and therefore they're filled with error, and thus we need them, the Alexandrians, to translate and to editorialize and to tell us what God really meant. And that's why you have over 300 different versions. Let me clarify that. That's why you have now over 300 different perversions of the Scripture, because they have taken the Alexandrian text, the critical text, what is called the critical text, because it's critical of truth, and they have editorialized it and made it say what they want it to say. You can get a lesbian Bible, and it is translated from the perspective of sanctioning lesbianism. You can get anything you want nowadays. I mean, I wouldn't advise you to do this, but you can get anything you want. And you will see it slanted, and you will see it turned so that it sheds good light upon whatever issue they wanted to shine light upon. And so my point is, what I'm trying to get you to understand, and what I'm trying to drive home, is that this is a false, and it is a blasphemous, and it is an anti-biblical, and these theologians that adhere to this are one day going to rule the day that they did not believe what God said in Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7 about His precious book, the Bible. Now, folks, right here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this holy man of old, David, wrote that the Lord would keep and preserve His word, His words forever and ever. And you are looking at a preacher who believes that God did exactly what He said He's going to do. I make no apologies whatsoever. Say, oh, well, you're King James only. Duh, you just now figuring that out? Yes, I am. I am. And may I remind you that last year when you voted on our church constitution, you said that that's what the position our church would take. And so I have no intentions of changing that whatsoever. Now, for the next 5 hours, little while, I want to take the words of our Lord Himself. And I want to show you and have you turn. We'll do it quickly, but I want to take several verses in the Gospels, and I want to show you a common theme that underlines each one. Let's start here in Matthew 4 and verse 13. You'll notice here that verse 14, it says that it might be fulfilled. which was spoken by Isaiah, that's Isaiah the prophet, saying. All right, notice that it might be fulfilled. Turn to Matthew 12 real quickly and look at verse 16 and 17. In verse 16 it says, "And charged them that they should not make him known." Why? "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying." Turn, please, to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And look at verse 54. "But how often then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour Jesus said to the multitudes, 'Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Might be fulfilled. Look over to Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And I'll read verse 22 of chapter 21. It says, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Notice that all things that are written may be fulfilled. Turn over to John chapter 17 real quickly. John chapter 17. John 17 and verse 12. Jesus is praying here, and he says in the 12th verse, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Look at John 19. John 19 and verse 28. It says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." Folks, can you not see that the Lord Jesus kind of felt that it was of the utmost importance that every word, did you hear me? Every word of the scriptures had to be fulfilled. So that leads me to ask, who in their right mind would dare to say that the Lord Jesus did not care to keep and preserve every word of the scriptures? I'll tell you who has the gall to say it. It's these prideful, pseudo-intellectual, "I'm the smartest guy in the room, and if you don't believe it, just ask me," egotistical, Alexandrian, Hort and Westcott loving, "I don't want an authoritative God reigning over me, telling me what to do," compromisers. That's who it is. That's who it is. Now, folks, listen, it's important, and it has to be, that God honor what David said back here in Psalm 12. He has to keep his word. He has to. And I read it to you from several sources that the scriptures had to be fulfilled. Jesus said so. All this was done so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. They had to be kept. And I remind you, it was not left to you, it was not left to me, it was not left to a school somewhere, it was up to God Himself to preserve His Word. He promised us He would do it, and I'm telling you, He did exactly what He said He would do. Now, go back now to Luke 24. Go back now to Luke chapter 24, to a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I think I hinted at this when we were doing our study on Wednesday night and we got to the Emmaus Road disciples. But let's look at this idea that it might be fulfilled in relation to the Emmaus Road disciples. And by the way, folks, these verses that I had you turn to just a moment ago, they are but a few of many in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus made the point that the Scriptures needed to be fulfilled, and that something was done so that the Scriptures could be fulfilled. I'm saying that the Lord Jesus felt it important that the Scriptures be preserved and be kept. Now, look at chapter 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, that's us, folks. That's us. I mean, let's be honest, that's us. That's what's wrong with our world today. That's what's wrong with our churches today. We are foolish. We are slow of heart in that we do not believe all that the prophets have spoken. Folks, God said, I'll preserve my word. That means Isaiah's preserved. That means Ezekiel's preserved. That means Daniel is preserved. Look at verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded unto them, the two Emmaus Road disciples, he expounded unto them in some of the Scriptures. No, that's not what it says, is it? He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, folks, can you imagine what kind of Bible study that was? Can you imagine as the Lord Jesus himself took those two men and began in the law, in the books of Moses, and brought them through the Old Testament, expounding unto them the Scriptures that had to do with himself? Oh, my goodness. I mean, notice he expounded to them concerning himself. The Lord Jesus was very emphatic that he thought the Scriptures accurate. He started with Moses and went all the way through the prophets. That means Daniel, that means David, that means Isaiah, that means Jeremiah, that means the minor prophets, and that means the Psalms. I mean, he went through the Scriptures. And I doubt, dear friend, that he ever stopped one time and said, now, I know that Isaiah used the wrong word here. This is a poor translation. He said virgin, but really young maiden would have been. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't stop and say, this was translated this way, but a better word would have been this. No, he didn't. He started in the beginning of the Scriptures, and he went through, and he gave them what the Scriptures had to say about him. Look, please, at verse 44. It says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that some things... No, all things, that all things must be fulfilled. Now, let me ask you, who's speaking here? Now, either all things are to be fulfilled or somebody's lying. And Jesus was not a liar. All right? Now, while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Folks, I'm simply saying that the Lord Jesus said that all things must be fulfilled. If the Scriptures were not preserved and kept, how could anyone know for sure if it was all fulfilled? Are you with me on that? Am I boring you? I mean, the Bible is the written Word of God. And Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. Now, don't you think that everything in the written Word that is said about the incarnate Word would be perfectly accurate? Of course it would. Don't you think that this would be of greatest concern to the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you see him being less concerned about what is in the the written word about being any less concerned about what is being in the written word than what the living word was himself. And yet, there are doubters and there are skeptics who sit around and question God's word. Hey, Christian, listen. It's time that you quit questioning the word of God and start believing the word of God and quit saying, well, if I don't believe it, then I don't have to do it. My friend, you're going to be held accountable for what is written in this book. Won't do you any good to slough something off and say, well, I don't believe that. You can say that all you want. You're still going to have to give an answer to everything that's in this book. So it's time we just start believing what's in the book. Look at verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might, what's the next word? Understand the scriptures. Folks, get this now. Get this. These two disciples could only have their understanding opened if they were willing to have their understanding opened. You're not going to get your understanding open unless your understanding is open. Now, that's just all there is to it. The Lord is not going to force us to understand. What some folks need to do is quit being slow-hearted in this matter and just allow the Lord to open your understanding of the Scriptures, and then you would understand that when God said in His Scriptures that He would keep and preserve every one of His words forever, you would understand that He meant exactly what He said. All right? Now, let's take a look at this matter of the copies. You say, well, Pastor, you mentioned in your introduction that what we have today are just copies. I did. There are no original manuscripts anywhere on the planet. Nowhere on the planet. There is not an original manuscript of any of the 66 books of this Bible. Not a one. There is no original of Isaiah. There is no original manuscript of the Gospel of John. There is no original manuscript of the book of Acts. They do not exist. They are nowhere to be found. Now, don't forget, the Alexandrians say that they believe the original manuscripts were inspired, although none of them have ever seen one. They believe the originals were inspired, but that God needs them now to tell us what God meant. And that, because there are errors and misprints and problems with the copies. But now, that's not what my text verse says in Psalm 12. My text verse says that God would preserve His word. God said that He would keep it and that He would preserve it forever and forever. Now, the question is, are we going to believe Psalm 12? And do you know what forever means? I mean, you take a first grader in Carroll Christian Schools and ask them what the word forever means, and they'll look at you like you got two heads and say, forever. What it means forever, Mommy. I mean, everybody knows what the word forever means. God said that He would preserve His word forever. And because of the promise in our text, I believe that the copies were as the originals. The copies were, of course, the word of God. And they were perfect. And they were inerrant. And they were inspired. And I believe that the copies of the Scriptures were perfect and inerrant and inspired. I'm talking about the ones that were collated and brought together so that they could translate for the English-speaking world the King James Version of the Bible. Folks, when they took all of the available manuscripts, 99% of them in the world agree with each other. 99%. And those are the ones that the men used when they sat down and translated the King James Bible. 1% of the available manuscripts in the world disagree with the 99. And it is from that 1% that Mr. Hort and Mr. Westcott, neither one who ever made a public declaration of faith in Christ, neither one of them ever said that they were saved and born again and knew that they were saved. They were Anglican priests, and they were skeptics, they were doubters, and they were not setting down to enlighten people in the path of God. They were setting down to be critical of the Bible that you have in your lap. And it was from the 1% that Mr. Hort and Mr. Westcott translated the critical text. And it is from that 1% that these over 300 now versions of the Bible are being sold like candy in Christian bookstores and Walmart all over the world. Don't you think the devil knows what he's doing? I'm telling you, folks. God said He'll keep His word. The question is, do we believe what God said? Do we believe what God said? I mean, because of the promise here in the text, it has to be that the copies were as the originals. They were inerrant. They were perfect. They were inspired. And the reason I believe that is because the Lord Himself preserved every word, not even allowing one to pass away. He said He was going to preserve it, and I believe that He did. Now, go back to Jeremiah for just a minute. Let me show you a couple things about copies. God knew that there'd be a bunch of fundamentalists sitting around here trying to figure out, well, is this really, I mean, are copies okay? And so He just fixed that for us in two places, and I'll show you both of them tonight. Look at Jeremiah 36. Let's begin reading in verse 21. Y'all getting this? Jeremiah 36, you got it? All right, look please at verse 21. It says, so the king sent Jehudi, he's from West Virginia, or Northern Kentucky, I'm not sure. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. See, I told you, fetch. What's the roll? That's not a dinner roll. That's a scroll. That's the book, the Bible. And this was what Jeremiah, the prophecies of Jeremiah. And he took it to Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four pages, when he had read three or four pages, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and that guy, Gemariah, had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. All right, now look down, please, at verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after, notice that, after that the king had burned the roll. Now, what's going on here? Jeremiah was given the word of God, and he wrote it on a roll, in a book, and in a scroll. And then they brought it in because it had a message for this king. The message was judgment. It was, get right, or you're going to pay, big boy. All right? So he brought the roll in, and then the scribe read it in the king's hearing, and the king took his knife out and started cutting up the pages after they were read. and he was throwing them in the fire. So he burned it up. Now look at me. He burned up the original. You with me? He burned the original. What is original? It's the first. And the king burned the original. Nod your heads. You got that? All right, now, look at verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll. And the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again, what's the next word? Another roll, and write it in it all the what? Former words. Are you listening to me? The former words, folks. In other words, what Jeremiah was told to do here was to write a copy of what he had been previously given. Hey, God's okay with copies. Do you know why God's okay with copies? Because of Psalm 12. God is okay with copies. I mean, he has no problem with copies because he has promised to preserve and to keep his word. And folks, I'll guarantee you, it doesn't say so, but I will guarantee you, and when we get to heaven and you meet Jeremiah, you ask him about it, and a big old smile is going to come over his face, and you ask him, say, Jeremiah, so good to meet you. After I've read your book. You better have read his book before you tell him that. But I've read your book, and man, you were such a great man of God, and you know, I can identify with so much of what you had to endure. Let me ask you, Jerry, when you got that second roll, was it exactly like the first one? Big old smile is going to come over his face, and he goes, exactly. Why? Because God promised to preserve and to keep his word. Now, folks, God can do it. That's the point. I mean, King Jehoiakim did not like the original manuscript, so he, as it was read, he took out his knife. He cut out what he didn't like. Jehoiakim was the original Alexandrian. He was the first. Oh, I don't like that. I'm going to take that out. For unto us a child is born. I don't like that child thing. Behold, a virgin shall... Oh, I don't like that virgin thing. I'm going to take that virgin out and put young woman in. I like that better. Hey, leave it alone, would you? God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing when he put that word in. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. Take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Folks, I'm saying that God can preserve his word. He said he could, he said he would, and mark it down, he can do it. He can do it. Do you know God actually has something else to say about copies? Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. You say, Pastor, you're pretty adamant that the Bible's the Word of God. Yes. That's why I'm trying to get you to be adamant about it. I'm not trying to hurt you here. I'm trying to help you. Look at Deuteronomy 17. All right, everybody got it? All right, now look up here. Look here. Creation. All right. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Egypt. All right, come across the Red Sea. Moses. You with me? All right, now watch. You got Moses, and then you got the period of Joshua. And then after Joshua, you got the period of the judges. And then after judges, you got 1 Samuel. And then you got King Saul. And then you got David. All right, so you know, we're talking way back here. when God gave Moses the law. That's Deuteronomy. Way back yonder. Long before the king, long before Saul, long before David, long before Solomon, way back there. Look what God says. He's talking to Moses, giving Moses the law. And here's what he says. Look at verse 14. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. In other words, God knew that once they crossed that Red Sea and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and then eventually came in and took the land of Israel, and once they finally got settled, and he knew that they would come and say, we want a king. We want a king so we can be like everybody else. Give us a king. God knew that he was going to do that. He told Moses about it way back yonder before it ever happened. He said, this is what they're going to say. And sure enough, you go to 1 Samuel chapter 8 and you'll find out that's exactly what they said. Look at verse 15. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. That's good advice. Egypt is always a picture of the world. And once you've come out of Egypt, Christian, you should never want to go back to Egypt. All right, that's the point. Look at verse 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Sounds to me like old Solomon should have read this, don't you think? Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a what? Copy of what? This law. What law? This law that I hold in my hands. This law, the one that God was giving to Moses at the time. That he shall write out of that, or that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. Now, what was the responsibility of the Levites? It was to take care of the Scriptures. Their job was to take care of the Scriptures. Now, folks, watch. Here is Moses, and he's getting the law. He is writing down the law. And now, God says that there's going to come a time over here, hundreds of years down the road, hundreds of years from now, the people are going to say, give us a king. And when that day comes, now you make sure that you appoint a king, and it'll be the man of my choosing, and I'll put him on the throne, but you make sure that he does some things so that he stays where he ought to stay. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to make sure, and write it in the book of Deuteronomy so he'll know what to do, that he gets a copy of the law. Now, pray tell me, if he's going to get a copy of the law, don't you think that he needs a good copy of the law? Don't you think he needs a pure copy of the law? Well, of course he does. But now, wait a minute. You've got God saying it's okay to give the king a copy. Folks, God is okay with copies. That's the point. God sanctioned it. God approved it. But please understand that. But also understand that God is okay with it because he is the one who has promised us that he will keep the word pure. God said that when they got into the promised land, that the new king was to obey his word. Now, the Levites had the word of God in their possession, and the Lord says that he wants the new king to take the law of Moses, write himself a copy of the original, and the reason God wanted him to do this was so that he would see that Israel kept all of the words of the law. But notice that God says that King Saul would have the originals, would not have the originals, but he would have copies. The point is, even though Saul had copies, listen this, get this, he was still responsible before God to keep all his words. Now, certainly the Lord would not hold Saul responsible to keep all his words unless he had all of God's words. All right? Let me show you another example. Real quickly, I got to quit. We got communion tonight. Go to the book of, Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Look, please, at verse 30. Look at verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote, watch this now, and he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Look at verse 34. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Did you even know that was in the Bible? Isn't that amazing? I mean, to me, that is just absolutely phenomenal. Strange thing. Joshua took a hammer and a chisel and on a stone wrote a copy of the law of Moses. And then when he finished, he stood before the whole congregation and he read the words that he had chipped into the rock. And lo and behold, not a single word was missing that was not on the original papyrus. And when we get to the place where we open our eyes and start believing that God will do what he said, Joshua believed it. He did. I'm sure he looked around and said, I need the law. I need the law. And Levites probably were standing there saying, Joshua, this papyrus is so fragile. I'm afraid if I hand you this papyrus, it's just going to crumble right in your hands. And so he probably said, all right, start talking. And he got his chisel and he got his hammer and he started carving. And when he got it done, he turned around. He said, all right, everybody gather around. This is the word of God you're about to hear. God's okay with copies. God's okay as long as it's the preserved copy. God's okay with it. Now, folks, listen, I mean, not a single word was missing. Not a single word. Let me, one more. It's 20 after. I'm sorry. One more. I got to give you one more, okay? Let me give you one more. How many of you believe that the book of Proverbs belongs in our Bible? Raise your hand. Sure, I do too. I do too. It should be included in the all scripture is given by inspiration. And you know what? There's not a single member of the Alexandrian Bible of the Month Club who would deny that the book of Proverbs belongs in the Old Testament canon of Scripture. Not a one. They would all believe it. All right? Now, Turn over to the book of Proverbs for just a minute. Chapter 1. I'm going to quit. I really am. This is it. All right, now look. Verse 1. The Proverbs of who?
Solomon.
Who? Solomon. The son of David, the king of Israel. And then we have a bunch of Proverbs. All right, turn to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of who?
Solomon.
Okay. The Proverbs of Solomon. All right, now go over to Proverbs 25. Verse 1, you see it? Do I need to even read it? Do I need to explain it? Now, we're told in 1:1 that these were the Proverbs of Solomon. In other words, originals. We're told in Proverbs 10 that these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Originals. But we're told in chapter 25 and verse 1 that these are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. Hey, God's okay with copies. God's okay. Now, he's not okay with a corrupted copy. He's not okay with the Alexandrian copy. But he's okay with copies. By the way, folks, do you realize the Lord Jesus did not have an original manuscript when he was on the earth? He didn't have an original manuscript. He used copies. But he was okay with that. You know why? Because he's the one that keeps them preserved and pure. He knew it was the Word of God. He was fine with it. He was fine with it. I'm telling you, folks, what goes through chapter 29 of Proverbs is what they copied. They copied it. I mean, I have no problem with this fact, because I believe that the God who gave the book promised to preserve the book. And not just for the generation alive when the book was originally penned, but for each and every future generation. And that's why I believe that I can stand here today and with every ounce of authority say to you that this book right here is the inspired, preserved Word of the living God, and you can trust it. You can trust it. Folks, I just want you to love your Bible. I just want you to love your Bible. And I trust that you will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your precious book. And Lord, thank you that your Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, thank you that you have inspired it and you have also preserved it. And Lord, from the generation that gave it right through till today, your Word is the inspired Word of God. Lord, thank you for our Bibles. Give us, Lord, a love for the Word of God. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit to help us to understand this point and help us to realize that, Lord, we've got the Word of God. We don't need some Alexandrian telling us what his opinion is, what should be. No, we've got the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to realize the authority of the Scriptures. Bless it to our hearts, Lord. Speak to our hearts, we pray. Give us understanding of what we've heard tonight. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please. No one looking around. How many of you here tonight will say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart tonight. I haven't been reading my Bible like I should. But I'm going to make a change. There's going to be a change. And I'm going to start reading the Bible like I should. Would you raise your hand right now and let God speak to you? Just raise your hand right now and hold it up. Preacher, I haven't been reading it like I should. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Many hands. God bless you, folks. God bless you. I'm going to raise mine tonight. I don't read it like I should. I try to read it every day. I want to read it more. I want to love it, learn it, memorize it, meditate upon it, hide it in my heart, study it. Oh my, I just want to know it more. May God give us that strength.